The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
These last months, the king walked with death, as if death were a companion, an acquaintance whom he recognized and did not fear. In the end, death came as a friend, and after a happy day of sunshine and sport, and after good night to those who loved him best, he fell asleep, as every man or woman who strives to fear God and nothing else in the world may hope to do. I, whose youth was passed in the august, unchallenged and tranquil glories of the Victorian era, may well feel a thrill in invoking once more the prayer and the anthem. God save the Queen.
Morning glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Our condolences to our Canadian listeners on the loss of their monarch and to our Commonwealth listeners around the world, especially those in the United Kingdom. Winston Churchill marking the death of King George VI and the accession of Queen Elizabeth II. Just now, let's go to Liz Truss at 10 Downing yesterday, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, who had 2 days earlier kissed hands with the Queen's and become her 15th Prime Minister. Cut number one.
We're all devastated by the news that we have just heard from Balmoral. The death of Her Majesty the Queen is a huge shock to the nation and to the world. Queen Elizabeth II was the rock on which modern Britain was built. Our country has grown and flourished under her reign. Britain is the great country it is today because of her. She ascended the throne just after the Second World War. She championed the development of the Commonwealth from a small group of 7 countries to a family of 56 nations spanning every continent of the world. We are now a modern, thriving, dynamic nation. Through thick and thin, Queen Elizabeth II provided us with the stability and the strength that we needed. She was the very spirit of Great Britain, and that spirit will endure. She has been our longest ever reigning monarch. It's an extraordinary achievement to have presided with such dignity and grace for 70 years. Her life of service stretched beyond most of our living memories. In return, she was loved and admired by the people in the United Kingdom and all around the world. She has been a personal inspiration to me and to many Britons. Her devotion to duty is an example to us all. Earlier this week, at 96, she remained determined to carry out her duties as she appointed me as her 15th Prime Minister. Throughout her life, she's visited more than 100 countries, and she has touched the lives of millions around the world. In the difficult days ahead, we will come together with our friends across the United Kingdom, the Commonwealth, and the world to celebrate her extraordinary lifetime of service. It is a day of great loss, but Queen Elizabeth II leaves a great legacy. Today, the crown passes, as it has done for more than 1,000 years, to our new monarch, our new head of state, His Majesty King Charles III. With the King's family, we mourn the loss of his mother. And as we mourn, we must come together as a people to support him, to help him bear the awesome responsibility that he now carries for us all. We offer him our loyalty and devotion, just as his mother devoted so much to so many for so long. And with the passing of the second Elizabethan age, we usher in a new era in the magnificent history of our great country, exactly as Her Majesty would have wished, by saying the words, God save the King.
That is Liz Truss, the Prime Minister of Great Britain. The Americans are not going to get this. I mean, we all who listen to this show today are going to love Queen Elizabeth for everything that she personified, particularly duty and service. Duty and service are bound up with Queen Elizabeth II. And I'll take phone calls and I'll talk to Dr. Layarn in the Hillsdale Dialogue about Queen Elizabeth. I'll also have Sonny Bunch on to talk about just the pageantry that will go on. My number is 1-800-520-1234. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was on Fox with Martha McCollum yesterday talking about the Queen. I'd like to play that exchange. Cut number four.
I think Senator McConnell and some of the other guests have captured it pretty well. I think of bedrock. I think of foundational virtues, the things that the Queen did. It was four long years serving in the Trump administration. She did this for 70 years. The stamina, the dedication to public service is immeasurable. I did have a chance to meet her. She always was winsome. She had joy in her heart as well. She joked. She says, "Oh, you're the survivor," right? She was friendly in a way, but demonstrated enormous wisdom as well, right? From Churchill to Truss, there was always someone there who knew the sweep of history, appreciated the sweep of history, worked with prime ministers from across the political spectrum to deliver good things for the people of the kingdom, which she was responsible for.
You know, it's interesting. Obviously, our history is breaking away from that and starting this new, very special country that we have here. And yet, we did come around to this special relationship that she did foster and strengthen with meetings with every president, as you say. What is the relationship, as you see it, between the United States and the country that we began our own country by rebelling against?
It's a storied, wonderful, amazing history. They were fantastic partners of mine when I was a CIA director, whether it was MI5 or 6 or the GCHQ. Great, brilliant people. Whether it was the foreign secretaries. The first one was Boris Johnson was the foreign secretary at the beginning of my time. These were people who were serious, and they understood that American exceptionals and greatness didn't come at a cost to Britain. It came where we could work together to make each of our two nations richer, better, more prosperous, more secure. And so I think the history, how we all started off in the time when we broke apart, is something that we all reflect on. We will kid about it. We chose very different and unique systems. But make no mistake about it, these two countries are good friends, important allies, and have delivered really good outcomes for our people across the sweep of the last 70 years when the Queen was reigning.
What do you think about the relationship that exists between the Queen and the Prime Minister? We watched her give Liz Truss the invitation to form a government, which is the way it works. They have private meetings weekly where they can discuss what's going on in the world. And it has worked out fairly well over time. What do you think about that relationship?
You know, I've never been part of that. We have such a unique, different system. But I can imagine that if one was a prime minister to go be with Queen Elizabeth, to go listen to her, I hope that's what they did, mostly listen, not talk, to listen to what she can bring to bear, her commitment. Think about it, she was married for 70 years, another institution that she defended with great vigor, one that I fear we are losing touch with here. Just the calmness and the decency and the dignity that she would bring to that conversation. My guess is that she often spoke in ways that were suggestive, not directive, ways that represented broadly the United Kingdom, not politics. I am confident she's helped many prime ministers through some incredibly difficult situations.
And there are incredibly difficult situations going on in Europe right now. We have aggression from Russia in Ukraine and big question marks about where the Western world is headed, given the threats that we face now.
Yes, the new prime minister there has got her work cut out for her. I think she made a good decision this morning. They're going to begin to put one foot in front of the other and begin to provide natural gas for themselves. They're going to frack in the United Kingdom, right? The first step is always self-help as they go through what is inevitably going to be an incredibly difficult winter, not only in the United Kingdom, but throughout France and Germany and the remainder of Europe. It is tough. And I think Prime Minister Truss will regret that she won't have this woman who had these remarkable decades and had seen just about everything and experienced much of it. I'm confident King Charles will be helpful But boy, to have someone who had been through some of the toughest times in the history of Europe would have been an enormous benefit to any prime minister.
It is a fine set of tributes, and we will take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1234. 1-800-520-1234. The very best column I have seen thus far is in the, as Britain begins a 10-day period of mourning. And the United States will focus on it this weekend, but they won't focus on it for 10 days. But the very best column is by Alison Pearson in The Telegraph. You've got to read the British papers if you want to find out the British reaction. So heartfelt. I have excerpted a few of them on my Twitter feed over at Hugh Hewitt on Twitter if you want to read some of those comments. I'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. This is Dwayne Patterson, producer of The Hugh Hewitt Show. I've known for a while now that there's been far too much of me here in the studio, and I finally needed to do something about my weight. My excuse was always that I couldn't follow a plan with the crazy schedule that I keep. I heard about PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition and how they customize their program for each client, and I decided to call. This was no problem for Rachel and the PhD team. They had me map out what my day looks like and created a plan to follow. And so far, I've lost 16 pounds already and I'm just 2 weeks in on the way to my goal of losing 45. Call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition at 864-644-1900 and make your appointment for your consultation. The plan is simple. It's based on science and nutrition. There's no pills or injections, and they even include 80% of your food if you want it. Call them right now at 864-644-1900 or find them online at myphdweightloss.com and tell them you heard about it from Dwayne, that producer Hugh actually has on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
Welcome back, America. I am so glad Sonny Bunch, the official film critic of The Hugh Hewitt Show and host of Across the Movie Aisle, a podcast you should be listening to, and The Bulwark Goes the Movie, joins me. Good morning, Sonny.
Hi, Hugh. How are you?
I'm great. There is a New York Times piece, I don't know if you're going to attempt this or already have written one, by Sarah Lyle, An Inscrutable Monarch Endlessly Scrutinized on Stage and on Screen, which catalogs in the New York Times everything from the King's speech to a royal night out to, of course, the Queen to the Mirren effort, everything. It's just Queen Elizabeth has quite a lot of film credits in which she did not participate.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought about that, but that's an interesting way to look at her, you know, career as monarch, is to look at all of the movies that she has been in without actually being in. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about her passing and thinking about The Crown and kind of how it helped humanize the queen and the family and all that. And I am curious what happens with the monarchy after this, because Charles is such a I don't know, what's the polite way to say it?
He's not his mother.
He does not inspire the same kind of sense or feeling of devotion, I think, that she does. And I say this as, I mean, I say this as an American, so, you know, what does my opinion matter? But I did live in England for a while. I feel like, you know, I have some point of reference there.
Sonny. When were you in England?
When I was a kid, when I was very young. So, I mean, it's not like I spent my college years across the pond or anything like that, or, you know, my professional life, but I do get the sense that very few people are super excited about Charles being king. You know, King Charles. I think people like his kids more than him, frankly. He is not beloved, and you know, I've always been skeptical of America's royal philia, in the sense that, like, getting excited about royal weddings feels like a betrayal of the revolution. But I will say that, you know, you can feel that way and also be sad at the passing of a stalwart American ally, an ally of Western civilization, frankly, for the last.
Yeah. I try and explain to my law student, Sonny, that we're not Brits. We did have a revolution, but it is in our DNA. Our common law and our constitutional DNA is directly descended from Great Britain. and everything that the Constitution is about is not being Great Britain, but everything that the Declaration is about being British citizens. And so it's a very, we are not subjects of the Queen. We are admirers of the Queen, but just to our north in Canada, that's their monarch. We don't have any monarchs. This is America. But I pointed out just before you came on, Lord Melbourne was Victoria's first prime minister. He was born in 1779. Victoria was born in 1819. Churchill was Elizabeth's first prime minister. He was born under Victoria. And 15 years later, they get to Liz Truss, who was born in 1975. Those are five names. Melbourne, two monarchs, three prime minister, 250 years. That's continuity.
Yeah, I mean, she was, you know, the nominal however you want to describe it, head of state for a third of the United States' existence.
Like, yes,
it's crazy. I mean, it's she just there's a continuity that is will never be matched again. I don't think. I mean, I just like
we're not going to be around to see it.
Yeah,
there's no way we end up with another 70-year monarch for many centuries, because you have to begin as a young person or a child. And that's just, I'm not sure the monarchy survives that long. Certainly, I don't think, you know, this will get me in trouble with some people. I don't believe Northern Ireland will be part of the United Kingdom come the end of the reign of William. And I'm not sure about Scotland either. England might be in it. That which unites divides, that which divides unites. That's the old Chinese proverb. So this might have been the best 70 years the monarchy has ever had.
It's certainly up there. I mean, I am not a scholar of English history, so I don't want to talk about, you know, all the various Charleses, but we'll see how it goes from here.
Yeah, I'm doing a long series on the history of the English-speaking people with Dr. Arndt, so we'll cover that. Let's go back to the movies and the American imagination of Elizabeth shaped by image, because that's all we know. We don't have, like, royal... We got a royal 1% that are royalists, right? They love everything about the British monarchy. But 99% of Americans just get what they get from the screen.
Yeah, and I think the crown has been a very important piece of art in terms of shaping perception of her. You know, the show it's on Netflix. It was a BBC, co-BBC Netflix production. And I think that has... I think it has been very important for folks who are, you know, just kind of casually interested in England and world history, frankly, because I mean, it really is a portrait of the 20th century experience of the Western world.
You know, yes,
it spans decades. She lived through so much of it. She visited so much of it. I mean, I saw somebody mention yesterday that there was nobody else on the planet, even other countries that still have monarchies or constitutional monarchies, whatever, there's nobody else on the planet who you could say, oh, the queen said this, and you would know instantly who she was talking about.
Oh, interesting.
Talking about.
John Paul II got close to the universalist appeal and reach, but not nearly the run. I mean, it's a 70-year run. It's unprecedented. It will not be. I was wondering, though, if you recall Helen Mirren in The Queen. In her wellies out on Balmoral fixing the Jeep, which she had worked on since she was a girl.
Sure,
it's the best.
Sure.
And by the way, it's at her low point as monarch, the death of Diana. She had great high points as monarch, including in recent years. But that was a low point. Did you like Helen Mirren as Elizabeth? Because I think that's the best role.
She was very good. I've always been a sucker for Olivia Colman. In everything she does. So again, in The Crown, you know, that stretch of her as the queen is very good. But yeah, no, Helen Mirren is great. And I like the queen, you know, it's funny. There were in not quite back to back years, but it was pretty close. You know, there were movies about the queen and then Margaret Thatcher. And it was interesting to see the contrast between the two portrayals, because, you know, you would think, oh, well, Margaret Thatcher would be a little more, we'd get a little more sympathetic look at her since she's, you know, an actual representative of democracy, et cetera, and that was obviously not the case. Though I liked the Iron Lady as well. I thought it was not as sneering a portrait as it might have been.
You know, cartoonists do great work, and sometimes they do terrible work, but there's a cartoon by Michael Diatter over at the Post today, to which we are both contributors. 15 prime minister, one queen. The prime minister's in the middle of the three rows of five. She's in the middle. The Hollywood Square is Margaret Thatcher. She's right there in the middle of the Queen's 15 prime ministers. It begins with Churchill, ends with Liz Truss. It's really quite remarkable.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Thatcher was clearly, Thatcher and Blair are the two most important and influential prime ministers of British history during her reign, I think. So I think that's fair. But
you might have to add Boris for getting Brexit done. I'm not sure if it's Theresa May or Boris or David Cameron who got it, who gets the credit or not the credit. But it's a significant, to get out of Europe was probably to go in and lose part of your sovereignty, and to get out and get it all back is probably bookend days too.
Yeah, but I don't know how much of that I would put on Boris Johnson or Cameron or any of them. I mean, that was a more grassroots populist uprising, I think, than the efforts of, you know, Thatcher or.
Well, Cameron has to put it on the ballot, and Boris gets it passed.
Yeah.
Not as prime minister. Boris just gets it passed with Michael Gove out on the. And the Queen stays above it all, and she doesn't say anything. She doesn't get involved in the Scotland independence referendum. She doesn't get involved in the Troubles, although they've tried to blow her up a number of times back in the bad old days. It's just a long run. So my question to you, Sonny, as a TV person, would you option as many seasons of The Queen as you could right now?
Well, no, probably not. I mean, I feel like, you know, by the time something gets produced and gets done, you know, it's 2 years from now, everyone has moved on from the Queen. They're on it. We want stories about King Charles. Now we need, you know, big ears. We need
I think it's going to go on a lot longer than that. I got to ask you very quickly. I've watched the 2 hours of Rings of Power, and I told people it's perfectly acceptable TV. But what a carnage online. It's just this massive car crash of conflicting opinion. It's a television show.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I think that's a perfectly way to put it. It's a perfectly acceptable show. I mean, like, they're just looking at it, before we get to the controversy over, you know, the casting and all that, you know, just looking at it as a show, it has a problem that it is in the shadow of one of the greatest film series of all time. And I feel like that's a fair way to describe the original Lord of the Rings trilogy now. You know, it really is just an absolute masterpiece, three-film triptych masterpiece. You know, the Hobbit movie's not as good. We can almost set those aside. But, like, being in the shadow of the first three Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings movies, and this very much is, despite, you know, being technically its own thing, not technically... it is, I think, legally required not to be based on those films at all. But, you know, it's shot in New Zealand. It uses, I think, the same special effects company, Weta. It has the same guy scoring it, Howard Shore. Like, it has the same DNA. It feels like the same universe. And living in that shadow is always going to be hard because, you know, you just have a hard time getting over that. So for what it is, it's fine. I mean, I like, again, before we get to the fights online about, you know, whether it's woke or not, the fact of the matter is that Amazon spent almost $500 million on this season of television. You know, it spent $1 billion total for, I think, the first two seasons, maybe the first three seasons. And part of that is rights. They had to pay, you know, some exorbitant eight-figure sum to the estate of Tolkien to get the rights to the property. But, you know, it's still exceptionally expensive. And for as expensive as it is, I mean, they made the first trilogy for less than they made this season.
Yeah, the money has to be amortized over every product. Like, the Marvel Universe would have justified that price when they bought it originally. We'll have to see if the LOTR universe does. Sonny, we'll do woke. It's not really an issue for me. I just think Tolkien would be happy and be fine with all this. I think that's kind of nutty. I just thought the people who demand authenticity and details, maybe we'll talk about that next week. Sonny Bunch, I hope you write a piece on QE2 and all of the films in which... She should have her own IMDb page. Thank you, Sonny. Across the movie aisle with Sonny Bunches, his wonderful pod, as is the Bulwark Goes to the Movies. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Morning Glory America, bonjour, hi Canada. Our condolences to our Canadian listeners who are mourning the loss of their monarch. In America, politics goes on, and I will return to Queen Elizabeth's passing a little bit later. But Chuck Morse is my guest. He is the Senate president in the state of New Hampshire. He is contesting to be the Republican nominee to take on Maggie Hassan. And if Chuck Morse wins on Tuesday, he will beat Maggie Hassan. I don't think anybody else will. And it seems that D.C. has woken up to that. State Senator Chuck Morse, welcome back to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Morning, Hugh.
Good to talk to you. Would you begin by assuming no one's ever heard anything about this race and they don't know you? Can you fill them in?
Yeah, that's great because I'm still that country boy that grew up in Salem, New Hampshire, that goes to work every morning at 5 o'clock, and I run a nursery and garden center that I built from scratch, and we've been pretty successful, which has allowed me to, be on local boards and go into being a state representative and then go on to be the longest serving Senate president in New Hampshire's history.
So everybody knows you in New Hampshire and they have an opinion about you. I cover New Hampshire first out of WGA and in Portland. We cover the northern part of the state very well. And that on my Keene and Manchester affiliates. They've seen a lot of negative ads about you, and they've seen a lot of Democrat paid for media for one of your opponents. What's that tell you, Chuck Morse?
Look, when they're spending $6 million against me, it tells me I'm the front runner and they don't want me to be running against Maggie Hassan because you're right. I'll beat her.
You will beat her. And that's what there are PACs in there working for Chuck Morse because other people running in that race get a lot of FaceTime on Fox. They will not beat Maggie Hassan. You have to run on the right side of the New Hampshire electorate, but it's got to be the right with which New Hampshire is comfortable. What kind of politics have your career and policies has your career embodied, Chuck Morse?
Yeah, I teach everybody the same thing that gets into politics in New Hampshire. It's all about honor and respect. And if I'm noted for anything, it's been pretty frugal with putting budgets together in the state of New Hampshire. And we've made New Hampshire the envy of the Northeast, if not the nation, by cutting taxes and driving an economy. It's working up here. Let's take that to Washington.
There are a lot of people who live in New Hampshire and go to work in Massachusetts, live in New Hampshire, go to work in Maine. They want your taxes and the other states got some jobs. But you can bring a lot more jobs to New Hampshire with good representation in the Senate.
Oh, absolutely. We're doing it here now in this state under Governor Sununu's leadership. And Hugh, he endorsed me yesterday.
Oh,
I really do. I'm honored for that one. And, working with him, we've cut taxes more than once in this state and it's driving the economy and people want to be here.
I missed that, Chuck Morse. Chris Sununu, Governor Sununu, came in for you yesterday. He waited, obviously, the last minute. Nobody plans on spinning to the wind of a media tidal wave. That got lost in Queen Elizabeth coverage. That's a big deal. Will people of New Hampshire know about it?
Oh, they'll know about it. Listen, we outraised everybody that's running against me by double with New Hampshire money. We're using every penny of it to make sure that they know that Governor Sununu endorsed me, the NRA endorsed me. We certainly have a list a mile long that people are coming out now. The momentum is definitely with this camp. And we got the greatest ground game going, working right now.
You got a great weekend as well. This actually is one of those things that people don't understand. You got to have nice weather to get the ground game going on the weekend before the election. I think I'm just a couple of miles north of the New Hampshire border as it's actually a couple of hours. But you could say I'm sure the weather is as fine there as it is in Midcoast Maine this weekend.
Oh, the weather's beautiful here right now, and the team's all pumped up. They're out on the road already, and they certainly are ready for this weekend and going into Tuesday.
So, Chuck Morse, just walk people through your career in the state Senate and the state legislature. When did it begin and what have you had to deal with?
Yeah, I started in 1998. Judge Gregg back then talked to me and said, you need to get up to Concord. And the speaker actually came to talk to me. And I went up and I was going to build I-93, Hugh. And it took me 22 years, but I got that highway built and it actually works for the state of New Hampshire to drive the economy in this state. And then I said I needed to get into the state Senate because I wanted to change all the tax policies, because New Hampshire was forgetting about personal responsibility and, you know, lower taxes work. And we've done that. I mean, I got into the Senate. I was either finance chair or Senate president most of the time I was in the Senate.
So Chris Sununu is very confident, as is Karl Rove, that you will beat Maggie Hassan. They absolutely do not believe anybody else will. Karl was very blunt. You're the only one who will beat Maggie Hassan. Do voters know that?
Voters in New Hampshire know it. I think we've driven it home in the last two debates. I really do think the public's listening right now, and they get it. And I think they've seen my leadership. And that leadership went against Maggie Hassan back in 2015. You know, I produced the first budget that started cutting taxes. She vetoed it. We worked with the Democrats to make sure we overrode her veto, and we got it done. We'll beat her again in November, too.
Yeah, Chuck Morse, she really does not want to run against you, and that's why Democrats are spending. Do you say $6 million to make sure someone else is nominated? And they're playing in the Republican primary. Is it $6
million? Yep, Chuck Schumer spent $6 million on me
wow.
so far.
Wow. All right, so what's the website, State Senator Morse?
Chuck Morse for NewHampshire.com.
Okay, all spelled out. Chuck Morse for NewHampshire.com.
Yes.
Hey, actually, yeah, Chuck Morse for NH.com. Okay, I wanted to make sure. Chuck Morse for NH.com. Thank you, Senate President Morse. We'll talk to you on Tuesday morning, I hope, to help get out the vote. And New Hampshire, listen closely, please. We really cannot give that seat away. Thank you, State Senator Chuck Morse. Welcome back, America. Tom Barrett is going to be a new congressman from Michigan come January. He joins me now. Good morning, Tom. How are you? I don't think that's the right picture, friends. You got to get that one gone. I don't think that's right. How are you, Tom?
Good morning, Hugh. How are you?
Great. It's great to have you on the show. Let's get people your website address first.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's TomBarrettForCongress.com. Folks can go there, learn more about me, certainly chip in a few bucks to help get us over the finish line. That would be amazing.
Two R's, two T's, right? Two R's, two T's.
Yes, sir.
Tom Barrett.
Yep.
Tell us where the Michigan 7th is, because people all across the country are playing in races where it's close. I think this is one where it's close. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. It's kind of hubbed around Lansing, Michigan, our state capital. It includes a lot of the surrounding counties as well. Lansing being our state capital, and then East Lansing, where Michigan State University is located, are certainly Democratic strong points in the community. But as you go outside of that into the more rural territory that surrounds, it becomes far more Republican. And this district has a very negligible, slight Republican lean to it. I'm challenging a Democrat incumbent member of Congress under the redistricting that took place this year. I currently serve in the state Senate, and almost my entire state Senate district was absorbed into this congressional seat. I'm running because the country's on the wrong track. Our district is one of the foremost competitive in the entire country, and it's absolutely critical to win here, to win back majority and fire Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House.
I want people to hear that. And, of course, I'm a Michigander. I have a law degree from that school up north, but I'm from Ohio originally. I'm not sure if you're a Sparty, a Wolverine, or from some other Michigan institution, unless you're from Hillsdale. I'm worried.
I'm a Western Michigan University Bronco. Met my wife there in the College Republicans, and we now have four kids. And I was first elected to the State House of Representatives 8 years ago and to the State Senate 4 years ago, and was rated as having the most conservative voting record in the Michigan Senate last year. So I care about the direction of our country. My background is in the United States Army, just retired after 22 years of total service earlier this year, deployments around the world. And really, the devastating effect of the Biden administration, what they did to our military, the woke progressive philosophy that they're cramming down the throats of our troops, the withdrawal of Afghanistan, where Joe Biden and his dereliction of duty allowed 13 Marines to be killed on the way out of our final moments in the war in Afghanistan. I can't pretend these things aren't happening, and that's why I'm running for Congress.
You know, Tom Barrett, I saw Leader McCarthy in Wyoming a couple of weeks ago. I said, I hope that not only you get the majority, but I hope you are the speaker when a majority of the Republican caucus becomes veterans again. That we lost that when the Greatest Generation passed from the stage. The new Greatest Generation is coming up. I've got Gallagher on. I'm a civilian, but my family's a Navy family. I got a son-in-law, a son, a nephew in the Navy. So you're in the wrong branch in the wrong state. But we're still going to say, go Navy, beat Army. But we're still going to say, that's a heck of a resume. What did you do in the Army? What was the MOS? What was your specialty?
I started out as a grunt in the field artillery. I had never even been on an airplane in my life till I flew to basic training 22 years ago, just after I graduated high school. And along the way, I got selected to go to flight school, learned to fly some really amazing helicopters. And the Army took me. I hadn't flown anything but a paper airplane when I showed up for flight school. And by the time I was done, they had taught me to fly a $25 million Black Hawk and just finished my career with a little over 1,000 flight hours.
Well, you and Jen Kiggins are going to have a little caucus of Hilo pilots, Navy and Army. I'm sure that's going to be great.
We are.
So, Tom, tell me about the race and how much money have you raised and are the small donors coming in? And repeat the website, please.
Yes. Yeah, our website, again, is TomBarrettForCongress.com. And we've raised about $2 million in this campaign. My opponent is one of the most heavily funded Democrats in the country. She gets this coastal elitist money from New York and California, as well as that Act Blue money that the Democratic machine has cranked out. The DCCC has thrown in millions more on top of that. She is on pace to spend, in all likelihood, more than $10 million in this campaign. Our goal is to spend $3 to $5 million. We've raised two so far. We're in the last 60 days of this race. We need to put it all on the line, dig deep, and win this campaign. Our polling, our latest poll has me up marginally within the margin of error by about 2 points. We can't let this district go because we need it critically to take back our majority in Congress. And the Democrats are spending so much money because they know when we win here, we win the majority and fire Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House.
Tom Barrett for Congress.com. The website, his Twitter handle is Barrett Brigade One, two R's, two T's. Tom, you know, I've noticed that Navy vets are more supportive of Navy candidates. So I'm just putting it out there to the Army vets out there that if they want to show that they are at least competitive, they got, here's a great Army candidate right here. Tom Barrett, 22 years, helicopter pilot, Blackhawks, et cetera. Go and help him out. And we need that seat. Boy, do we need that seat. Keep coming back, yeah. Tom. Good to talk to you this morning.
Thank you.
I look forward to meeting you in person. Tom Barrett for Congress.com. Follow him on Twitter at Barrett Brigade One. Dr. Larry Arnn, speaking of all things Michigan, president of Hillsdale College, joins me next. Saddened by the loss of Queen Elizabeth, we're going to devote our Hillsdale dialogue today to her and the role of the monarch and to her service over 15 prime ministers. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Stay tuned. The red and blue lines are drawn. The control of Congress is on the line. Learn who is on the right side. Join me this October for the Battleground Talkers Tour. Visit battlegroundtour.com for dates, locations, and tickets. That's battlegroundtour.com for all the details.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.